about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Thank you for taking my call. This is Bob from Chattanooga. The hour is coming. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This cartoon character debuted in 1930, the same year the object he shares a name with was discovered.
Why isn't Pluto a planet anymore?
I'm sorry?
Why isn't Pluto a planet anymore?
Pluto's not a planet anymore?
That's what I heard.
I don't believe it. Where'd you get your source?
I heard on the news.
Planets don't just disappear.
Were you a fan of the comic book or the cartoon?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the perfect mix of low intellect, high lack of ambition, and limitless parental support.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
And now,
what the f***?
Our feature presentation.
He's right. Learn, kids.
I'm sorry. I didn't learn.
He's right about that.
I have to learn.
Beer mug telling kids how to learn about how to do radio.
After failing.
That's awesome.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, brand new program, 5:32, Tuesday, the 2nd of April.
And Kershaw followed by Crawford and Ellis. And a high fly ball to center. Pagan going back. It's over his head. It's over the fence.
First of all, how unbelievable is it that Vin Scully is still calling Dodgers games?
How long has he been doing it?
What is this, Beer Mug? Season 63?
Something like that.
That's crazy.
63 years in a row he's been calling Dodger games. It's unbelievable. Great to hear him yesterday. Great to see the Dodgers out there on the field.
Wait,
and by the way,
was that the pitcher that hit a home run?
Yes. Really? Not only did he pitch a complete game, a four-hit game, complete game, but he had the only offense for the Dodgers. He hit his first ever Major League home run.
Wow.
How's that for a day?
He should retire.
He really should never play again.
He's not going to have a better day than that.
No, he's not. That was pretty remarkable. And Kevin, I know you hate the baseball.
I do.
But you would love so much what they did for the first pitch. You know, they always have a celebrity come out and throw the first pitch.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is because it was April Fool's Day or why they decided to do this, but it was so awesome. Beer Mug, did you see this? You know what I'm about to, the story I'm about to tell?
No.
So Magic Johnson, who's one of the owners of the Dodgers now,
right.
He's out on the mound to throw the first pitch.
Right.
Very appropriate. The crowd goes wild. Obviously, they're super psyched to see him. Oral Hershiser, Dodger great, who won a World Series for them as a pitcher, is behind the plate. He's playing the part of the catcher in this case.
Okay.
So Magic Johnson's on the mound. He's getting ready to throw his first pitch. And Don Mattingly, the manager for the Dodgers, before Magic can throw his pitch, comes out like he's calling time in a game, comes out, walks out to the mound, and ejects Magic Johnson, holds up his left hand to call in another pitcher, replacing him, basically throwing him out of the game to bring in a new pitcher like they do.
So they call into the bullpen and bringing somebody out to actually throw the first pitch? I wish they'd done that for me.
So Magic doesn't get to throw the first pitch after all.
That's funny.
And they bring out instead Sandy Koufax, ladies and gentlemen. 77-year-old Sandy Koufax, who also won a World Series as a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the most beloved Dodgers of all time.
And then he gets pulled and Weird Al comes out.
That's when it got really crazy. Wouldn't that have been awesome if they just kept doing that 30 times? Frankly, I didn't realize Mr. Koufax was still alive, but I was delighted to see him. And then he comes out and he throws a pitch that, I don't know, Ken, it wasn't much better than yours.
Yeah.
You might be, I mean, it did bounce on the ground.
He bounced it.
You might be as good a pitcher as Sandy Koufax.
That's
you might
what actually, I'm talking about.
You might actually be able to say that when people say, hey, how's your pitching? Well, I'm, you know, I'm Koufax-like.
Early Koufax? Oh, no, today.
Today, 77 years old, right. But isn't that, that's great, right?
That is great. That's
hilarious.
And a unique sense of humor for a sport that's not known for that.
True.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I just thought that was, I thought that was great.
How about that?
So welcome back baseball. And the Dodgers are on track to win 162 games, which is great.
Don't start if the season ended today.
Angels also won their game, and I'd like to say the Seattle Mariners also won their game. So we're in the thick of it. Money and I are already trading tweets last night about
this bet we've
got going on. It's going to be a long season, but this is the year I'm going to be victorious.
It's going to be a much longer season for those of us that have to listen to you. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, please, don't turn this into a gay thing.
I realize that's what I was doing, but all right. Pasadena College has a class in how to appreciate corn. Some more details on that.
I would like to know more.
I feel like I should get an A in that for having done the work in home study.
This seems like the type of course that anyone could teach.
Like, I shouldn't have to show up for class. I should just get to take the test. I'm so well-versed
time
in this
served.
Topic.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What happened when you passed out drunk? We're going to take your calls today. As sometimes that goes well, sometimes it doesn't go so well. But
it very rarely goes well, by the way.
I'd like to disagree. It always goes well. It's just sometimes sometimes the person who's passed out gets angry.
Right.
Which is not their right. Because you pass out, you deserve it. Sorry.
Whatever happens.
That's the rule. My Strange Addiction.
Ah, love that show.
Man, oh man, they find some crazy people. Guy in love with inflatables. And now... at first, I thought it was balloons. This is inflatables, like pool inflatables, like a giant, like a giant whale that's as tall as the guy.
Oh my god!
Does he have a pool?
I don't know.
They didn't show him in the water.
I think they did.
With the toys?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. They live in the house with him.
Of course they do. And you can't let your lover live out in the yard, Kevin.
And he considers one of them his wife.
Oh god.
I sometimes wonder if all of those people are for reals.
I watched the whole thing and I just kept thinking, this can't be. This has to be an actor. He's being funny, but they sure don't ever.
I mean, do these people have jobs and
family
like the last to them?
The last one we did, the woman who was addicted to drinking blood, they showed her at work in her tattoo parlor, and we met her mom and saw her friends. Unless they were all actors, unless the whole thing's a goof, it seems like they're real people.
There's two parts to every single one of those My Strange Addictions, and we'll have to get to I'm Addicted to Butt Injections.
Yes, we must.
As is Lisa.
Different kind of butt injection, though.
This girl
maybe not.
This girl goes and meets somebody in a random hotel room, not even a doctor.
And has them inject what?
Silicone.
Oh, this is those guys.
Is what they're being told. They have no way of knowing what it is.
We see these stories in the news all the time about people who either get the person gets arrested for impersonating a doctor, doing a medical procedure without a license, or they inject something into the patient that ends up killing them. We see a couple of those stories a year.
And the person who was giving the injection said that they get this stuff from the hardware store.
Oh, wow.
Those words.
That's not
that kind
of
silk.
How many shots has that woman gotten? 53. So we'll have to get to that as soon as possible.
Not what you want.
We also have What's Up with Florida, a new feature.
What is up with Florida?
What's up with Florida?
Good question.
So that's coming up today. We have David Alan Greer, funny man David Alan Greer, and we have your tickets in the front section, the How You Like Me Now section, right up front where the pit usually is. We put seats in there, and you get to sit there for April Foolishness, and we've got your tickets for that coming up today as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Yesterday here on the show, we had fifth row seats for you to see Depeche Mode at Staples Center. Ralph, where do you suppose the tickets are that were given away today?
Come on, six. Come
He's hoping six.
You're going. Is that your final answer? Six?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fourth row. We're actually giving away fourth row tickets today. You're
BS.
So close.
Could have gone either way. I had a 50-50 chance.
That's true.
Yeah. True. Got a bunch of chances for you to win on this 20s Kevin and Bean Show. And all throughout the day, all throughout the week, you can get your details at krock.com. It is 5:53. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Yep. I just missed that guy. You know, he's not on the show anymore.
He isn't?
No. Go watching the new Storage Wars, and Dave's been given the boot.
Yep.
Is he living in a storage container somewhere?
Yes, no, they opened one and there was Dave. They were surprised.
He auctioned off.
Said, hey, get out of my house.
Yep.
Close the door up again. Yeah. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD for your entertainment dollar. Here's what's new. Miss Lonely Hearts by Cold War Kids. New CD today is available. My Shame is True by Alkaline Trio. I've heard good things about that Alkaline Trio. Anybody heard their music?
Bean,
yeah, you know everything.
Yeah, they're not for me.
Oh, okay.
They're fine.
What are they like?
You know, they're just a punky kind of rock band, a mini, you know, Blink-182-y kind of band. They're fine.
Okay. Wolf by Tyler, the Creator. And 10 by New Kids on the Block. They've got a new CD.
What? Dude.
NKOTB MF-er. So you can pick that up on TV shows on DVD. The Bible, that epic miniseries from A&E. Or is it Reels? Where is it? Where are those?
It's
History Channel.
History Channel,
yeah. That's available. The Killing Season 2, also available on DVD. And movies, Hemingway and Gellhorn, starring Nicole Kidman and Clive Owen. That was an HBO film. That's available. And here's a film I can personally recommend, and you should absolutely get it on DVD if you haven't seen it already on cable or direct or on demand. John Dies at the End.
I've never heard of
Spoiler
it.
Spoiler alert.
John
That's
Dies
the
at the End
name of it there.
Is a film by the guy who brought us Bubba Hotep.
Which
is a film that Kevin and I enjoy so much.
So much.
Yes. And Paul Giamatti is one of the stars, also produced this film. It is a wildly entertaining, wildly weird and funny sci-fi slash horror film that is guaranteed to make you laugh. So check that out if you get a chance. More details today as we find out what happened to Shane Gandy of the MTV hit Buck Wild. He was found dead in Sissonville, West Virginia yesterday morning. He had been missing since 3 a.m. on Sunday when he told his friends he was heading out to do some mudding with his uncle David Gandy. Two other bodies were also discovered in the vehicle when Shane Gandy Kane Gandy was found. Here's what they think happened. He was in his 1984 Ford Bronco doing some mudding.
Right.
When he got stuck in the mud. And the muffler and the tailpipe was below the mud level. But he kept the engine running.
Oh.
And so the cabin eventually filled up with carbon monoxide.
Because it didn't have anywhere else to go.
Right.
Ah.
And so likely carbon monoxide poisoning filling the cabin was what killed Shane and the other two passengers as well.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
Asshole. Asphyxiated in the great outdoors. That's what happened to him. In the woods. In the woods, he choked to death in the great outdoors in the wilderness.
Roll down a window?
Roll down a window, I would say. Look, that would be my first suggestion.
That's it.
Or turn off the engine and get out of the effing truck.
Roll down a window. It's easy.
Or roll down a window.
That too.
We saw 1 minute of that show, you could tell he was not a bright boy.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was stupid enough to die like this.
Yeah. It is sad, but man, just a dumb way to go.
It is.
Speaking of dumb, Justin Bieber.
Now what?
Well, he's a bit of a dick.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, yesterday was... What, Kevin? What day was yesterday?
Yesterday was April Fool's.
Thank you. Guess what Justin did? Posted on his Twitter account, as promised, taking all fan phone calls today at 888 847-9869. Talk to you soon. That number, Kevin?
Whose was it?
The TMZ tip line.
Ah.
Oh, he showed them.
Well, here's the thing, Lisa. He kind of did, because that is a toll-free account for callers.
Mm-hmm.
But the people at the other end have to pay for each of those calls that comes through. And Bieber's got 36.9 million followers on Twitter. So each of those phone calls that TMZ got... They have to foot the bill for each and every one of those calls.
Do you want to make an enemy of TMZ if you're a celebrity?
Apparently he does.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
Isn't that really even funny? It's just sort of a malicious swipe at TMZ.
Yeah.
And I understand he's upset because he lost his monkey and he has no shirts and other problems that he has.
All that's going on, whether TMZ reports
it
or not.
That's what I'm saying. Why is he taking a shot at TMZ? I know... Harvey's a friend, and we talked to him a lot on the show, but I'm not sticking up for TMZ just because they're TMZ. I just don't understand the point of the prank.
Well, he gets to disappoint all of his fans who are looking forward to talking to him.
That is the upside. At least they also have to pay a price. Yeah.
Can you imagine answering that line?
He's a dick.
Of just his fans.
Dave says, that was funny. Dave says, that was funny. Oh, he was funny. JK. Did he go JK when he put out the phone number?
What an idiot!
And Lady Lauren, the train wreck tour continues. She is currently in Brazil for a paid gig, pledging John Denham. I don't know if you saw the photos yesterday of her stepping out of a helicopter.
Did not.
Best she's looked in a long time, huh, Ralph?
Yes. She had a wardrobe malfunction since she wasn't wearing a bra. And so her boob came out of her shirt. Came out the side there. Made a break for it. If it wasn't for her hair extensions that she was wearing that covered it up, she would have been all over every front page of every media outlet ever. But fortunately for her, the hair fell down and sort of covered it. And she also announced this week, by the way, Lindsay is beginning work on
Jail,
a new album.
So we got, all right.
We got that to look forward to.
All right. Yeah. Her first love. Wait.
That's her first love. Today's celebrity birthdays, Christopher Maloney. Oh, how I love me some Maloney.
Ringing a bell.
Law and Order SVU, ringing a bell?
The show, I don't watch it.
Oh, okay. 52 years old today. Karen Woodward of Bananarama is 52 as well. We got to get some Bananarama music up in this joint.
Or ask Dave how that made it to the birthday list.
One or the
Come
other.
Come on. Cruel Summer, mother effer.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
How about Venus? How about a little Venus? How about a little Venus in the morning?
Well, we are the greatest hits of the 80s. That's what this show's about.
I'm saying. Clark Gregg is 51 years old today. Yeah, it's your boyfriend, Bean.
I love him.
You may know him as...
As everything, all the time, always.
Yep. Agent Coulson, of course, from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, sure.
He's 51 years old today. Toadie Friedenelli of Third Eye Blind is 44 years old today. Rosalind Sanchez from Without a Trace turns 40. Actor Adam Rodriguez is 38, as is actor Michael Fassbender. One of Lisa's favorites.
He is.
36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dan Steiner from Riverside, thank you very much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on this Tuesday. You just won tickets in row number 4 to see Depeche Mode at Staples Center at the end of September. Tickets are going on sale for these shows, by the way, September 28 and 29 on sale Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll have more fourth row tickets you can win throughout the day here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Justin Bieber's a douchebag. We all know that.
Yes.
Story just came out that he was in Germany and he tried to bring a monkey through customs and he didn't have any paperwork for the monkey.
Idiot.
So the officials at the airport said, "Where are the papers?" He said, "I don't have any. I'm Justin Bieber."
Okay, then.
So they took his monkey.
I wonder if it's possible, since he's a teenager, that he had no idea about traveling with paperwork for pets.
I'd like to defend Justin.
No, I'm not. I'm not defending him at all. I'm just wondering if he had no idea that you needed paperwork. I mean, if you've never traveled with an animal before, maybe you don't know that paperwork is required to take them in and out of various countries. I don't know. And I never heard of this monkey before he was confiscated at the airport.
Me either.
It's not like he's had this monkey like Michael Jackson did that was in his life for a long time that was a pet. It sounded like this monkey was something he just got, right?
Yeah, he did. It was a gift from a record producer who gave it to him last week.
Yeah, why mm-hmm. would someone do that?
Maybe the record producer hated him. I mean,
And he was hoping the monkey would rip his face
off. Yeah, that's a terrible pet.
Well, we wanted to find out more about what happened because the details are extremely sketchy on this. So we asked producer Dave, hey, let's talk to the people in Germany at the airport. It's the Franz Josef Strauss Airport in Munich. And I believe we have a spokesperson for the customs office there. Mr. Thomas Meister joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That doesn't sound good.
Try it again.
Mr. Meister, good morning.
Hello?
There he is. Sorry.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Guten Tag. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you. Your English is excellent, and we very much appreciate you coming on American Radio to talk to us today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to America. How are you all today there in USA?
All of us are good.
We can speak for everyone in the country. We're doing great.
Great.
Hey, were you at all in the loop on this incident that happened last week with the recording star Justin Bieber?
Yeah. I was right in the middle of the loop with the Bieber.
Oh, you were right there, okay.
Yes, I was in charge of the monkey.
Oh, okay, so you're the monkey wrangler at the airport?
Yeah, I'm the monkey wrangler of the airport, because that is a job.
I withdraw the question.
I would imagine that's a job that most days you don't have much to do, but wow, when a monkey does show up, it's got to be pretty exciting.
999. I am a supervisor of the customs. But I am also in charge of the quarantine area, where is keeping all the animals that come here must be held for quarantine and not be allowed in the country for fear of spreading, diseases and things.
Now, we have very few details on what happened when Justin Bieber showed up with his monkey. Can you fill in some of that?
Yes, Bieber came into the country with monkey, and he didn't have papers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have that.
Oh, but then you have all the details then.
Okay, so what was there a did he throw a little hissy fit and cry like a teenager?
Stop it. I'm telling you, I'm not singing baby, baby, baby against you.
Oh,
you relax there.
You still have Justin's monkey there at the airport?
Yeah, we got nobody can pick up. He's just in cage here.
Oh, that's so sad.
And all the time he comes down as if you sing, baby, baby, baby. Oh! That's the only time he seems to shut up.
Oh, that's very sad. I was just curious if Justin cried like a little girl when you took his monkey away.
Nine. He took his shirt off for some reason.
Why did he?
And then said he was going to beat the F out of me.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's him.
His M.O., right. So what's going to happen to this poor monkey? This is very sad. Can't you take him to the zoo in Munich?
Well, no, they're not interested. We're hoping perhaps monkey rescue people will come and claim him, put him on Monkey Island or wherever they take them. But it's a common problem. We have many cages here at the airport filled with animals brought in by superstar celebrities.
Really?
Or just not with the proper paperwork.
Well, what else?
If you know anything about the Germans, we want to see your papers.
You do like papers.
That actually is true.
What other animals do you have?
There's a pig there.
Uh-huh.
That's Louis Anderson's.
Okay.
Came in with that. That's Burt Reynolds' cockatoo.
Okay.
And we tried to get him to take it back, but he wouldn't. He was wearing it on his head as a toupee, which I thought was odd. We'd have no hope for that. That is a swarm of bees that belong to Milli Vanilli.
What? Wait a minute. Why does Milli Vanilli have a hive of bees
Good
as a pet?
Good question. That's what I asked them. I said, hey, Milli Vanilli, what's up with the bees? And then Vanna, one of them is dead. We may never know.
Oh, wow.
That secret may have died with him.
So you have to take care of all these animals yourself.
All of these animals and all these cages we have waiting for adoption.
What
for
a nightmare.
Superstars. Oh, there's Kirk Cameron's duck. Always waiting around for Kirk to come back. Or for the rapture. What are the other things he's waiting for?
What a busy place. I can't imagine.
That is Lou Ferrigno's humpback whale.
Wait, he tried to bring a whale through the airport in Munich?
I know, they'd be crazy doing that.
That's ridiculous.
You need papers for a whale.
How do you get papers for a whale?
I don't know, but you got to look into these things before you travel.
Crazy job.
No, that's Andrew Dice's Clay Wolf.
Right.
Yeah? He goes, what was that? That was Leonard Nimoy's tiger.
What's happening?
Live long and growl.
Are these real animals or bands playing Coachella?
Oh, Terry Bradshaw's elephant.
Okay, you're just making stuff up now. Come on, Mr. Meester, you're pounding us.
It's time for me to go feed Gallagher's dolphin. I'll be back later.
Seriously, Kevin, if somebody had a gun to your head and you had to answer and you had to be right, what's up with Florida? But seriously, what's up with Florida?
I can't answer that. It is fascinating because we see all these funny stories, crazy, weird, drugs, insane. 90% of them come out of Florida. What is up?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What the hell is going on? You always have the craziest news. What's going on in Florida?
I mean, if it were just a population thing, because Florida has a lot of people, we would see just as many of these stories happening in California, just as many of these stories happening in New York or Texas. But you're right, Kevin. It seems like the overwhelming majority seem to be in the Sunshine State, and I can't figure it out. It is amazing to me. This one from Tampa, you probably saw this one on the news. It made a lot of national headlines. On Friday, his son, 11, was playing with the family dog, Sassy, and Sassy bit the boy's finger off.
Oh, no.
Clamped down, just one of those things that happens, a Malamute wolf mix, clamped down on the finger and swallowed it. What did dad do in that situation? Louis Brignone Sr., 41. The dog in the head. Cut the dog open, retrieved the finger, and took the boy with the finger to the hospital.
Wow. Did they reattach it?
They were unable to reattach
That's terrible. Unable to
so now he's got a kid with four fingers on one hand and a dead dog. The most fascinating thing to me about this is the quote that he told the television station in Tampa. He might be missing a finger, but his other four are good. Because God is good, you know. He still has four fingers. He can do everything that he can do with five, he can do with four. First of all, if he can do everything he could do with four that he could do with five, why did you kill your
dog?
Don't
shoot the dog.
Right. Second of all, if God is good, why did the dog bite off your son's finger and then you killed the dog and got nothing out of it?
At least the kid was traumatized with the bite and then further traumatized with the shot to the dog.
Yes, that is a story that does not have a happy ending, I'm sorry to say. I wish the dog somehow would have shot the man is what I wish would have happened there. Palm Bay, Florida, another story from last week. They have arrested a woman they say was observed on surveillance video pooping in a man's backyard and then swimming naked in his pool. Her name is Cheryl Beauchamp. Before you get excited, Kevin, about her swimming naked in the guy's pool, I looked at the mugshot. She kind of looks like Howie Long back in his playing days. She has been charged with burglary and criminal mischief. According to police, the homeowner reported seeing the woman on his home surveillance system walking through his yard, pooping, and then cutting the screen to the pool area with a rock. She then got undressed and got into the swimming pool. He called police. They arrived. She told the officers that she was taking a bath because she was homeless and that she had cut the screen with a rock because the door was locked and she wanted to take a bath. She also went on to say, by the way, that she was just passing through Palm Bay on her way to Washington, D.C., where she planned to yell at President Obama.
I'm sure she did.
I wish she would have made it. Hey, she could have pooped in the pool. I think she was being considerate.
And then swam in it.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point. So the homeowner should consider himself lucky.
Right.
And finally, and this is one of the strangest stories I've ever seen. We've talked many times on this show about how when you get pulled over by a police officer, you're always hoping. There's always that tiny percentage in your brain that's going, maybe I can figure out some way to get out of this or they can give me a warning. It almost never happens, right?
Yeah.
Right. How often, Kevin, do you ever get away with a warning?
Never.
Right. This is a Florida Highway Patrol officer named Charles Swindle. He recently stopped Charles McBurney of Jacksonville for going 87 in a 70. He decided not to give him a ticket because McBurney was a state lawmaker. He's a state representative. He's in the state Congress. He's got it on his license plate that he's a state congressman.
Right.
So the officer says, I'm going to cut you a break. I'm not going to give you a ticket for this. I'm only going to cite you for not having the proof of insurance. That's a $10 ticket in Florida rather than the $280 ticket that you would have gotten for speeding 17 miles over the limit. Okay,
well, that's cool.
Sounds like a very cool thing to do. Sounds like this should be the end of the story. You'll never guess what happened next. The state lawmaker decided he was going to turn the officer in for giving him preferential treatment. He wrote a letter complaining, if those who enforce our laws fail to meet the highest ethical standards, there is erosion of that confidence. I am concerned that Trooper Swindle acted in such a fashion to me that he would not do to any other law-abiding citizen of our state. The letter launched an internal investigation, and last week the police officer was fired.
What a dick!
No kidding.
Take your tiny little ticket and get your ass out of there.
Is that the biggest dick move you've heard in a long time? The officer's trying to be a human being, trying to be a nice guy and saying, hey, I'm going to let you go. And you know how rarely that
happens. And he got fired?
He got turned in and got fired. I submit to you this question, ladies and gentlemen of the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up with Florida?
Florida, what the hell is going on? You always have the craziest.
Got highlights from a new episode of My Strange Addiction on the program later on today. Funny man David Alan Greer will be here, and we are going to hook you up for the How You Like Me Now section of the sold-out Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013 show this Saturday night at the Gibson. All of that on the way. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat at 6:55.
Lots of people talking about the announcement of the Lollapalooza lineup happening in Chicago's Grant Park again this summer, August 2nd through the 4th.
It's a pretty good lineup.
The ninth year of the festival will be held in the Windy City. More than 130 bands are on the bill on stages all over the park. Headliners include Mumford & Sons, The Killers, Nine Inch Nails, Phoenix, Postal Service, New Order.
Wow.
Another top-name talents. But a lot of people talking about the very first appearance of The Cure at Lollapalooza. A lot of Cure fans excited to check them out in Chicago. Three-day passes sold out a mere 3 hours after they went on sale on March the 26th, but single-day passes go on sale tomorrow, so you can still check out Lollapalooza if you're so inclined. But that's a pretty impressive lineup.
Remember when Lollapalooza used to come to us, you guys?
Yep.
Now we have to go to them.
to travel all over the place. Now it's just Chicago.
That's how it is, man. While we're talking about music, the Nice Try Award goes to a digital music startup company called Redigi. You familiar with Redigi?
Mm-mm. No.
They were sued by Capitol Records, and Capitol Records won the lawsuit yesterday. A judge ruled that their company was not allowed to infringe on the copyright of music companies like Capitol Records. Here was Redigi's business plan. They would buy music off of iTunes. They would download digital downloads from iTunes. And then they would say, well, now it's a used digital download. And so you can come to me and you can buy it at a cheaper price because it's used. We have used digital downloads over here. Bins and bins of used digital downloads. Come on into our used digital download store and get these cheaper downloads because they're used. They're used. They're not fresh, brand new from iTunes. They're used. And they would sell the reduced used downloads
wow.
to hundreds and thousands of people. Of course, at a massive profit because they pay for it once and they would resell it hundreds of thousands of times.
What's weird about this story is a lot of people for a long time have been, you know, sending them around for free.
Yeah.
They haven't been, like, recharging for them.
Well, they were trying to establish that this is the new model.
It's a legal way.
It's legal because they're used. You see, they're not brand new anymore. They're no good. Look, some of them have scratches on them. I think this one's a little warped from sitting in the back seat of somebody's pickup truck. The sun got to it. Here, come on into our used digital download store.
That is a dumbass move.
And the judge said, you know, this isn't like records when they used to have the used record stores where you'd have to, you could buy records for cheaper than when they had the cellophane on them because they were brand new. These are digital downloads. They don't decrease in quality simply because you've already purchased them.
Nice job, dumbass.
So Capitol Records won the lawsuit against Redigi, and I guess they're going to have to look for a new business. Redigi. Come on.
They sell used movies.
That's right.
Downloaded movies.
Congratulations to Conan O'Brien. TBS announced they are picking up another 2 years of Conan's late night show through November 2015. That's good news for those guys.
Doesn't it seem to you guys like Conan is kind of out of the national conversation ever since he moved to TBS? That first couple of weeks, people were excited, and now we don't talk about him, hear much about him.
I don't know about that, but
the show's still good. It's just I don't think I go in there most of the time.
President of the Conan O'Brien Fan Club said, he's got a show on TBS? So maybe Bean's got a point. I mean,
with all this talk about, you know, Leno being forced out, there was a time when Conan O'Brien would have been the obvious choice, you know, and now he's not even nobody's even trying to get him off of TBS to put him back on NBC.
I don't think that would work.
Yeah, I don't think he'd go either. Don't like them people no more. And still today we're mourning the loss of Shane Gandy, of course, cast member of Buck Wild. Perhaps the most talented of all the Buck Wilders.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He had a gift. He had a gift for mudding and for selling candy balls and worst mustache on television. He also owned the worst mustache
right.
on television.
I recall from when LaQuisha used to review that show, season one, he was the guy who said, I don't need Facebook. I just go out on the front porch and holler.
That's
right? That was that guy.
Because he lives in a holler. And he said that's why they call it a holler, because you go out your front door and you just holler at your neighbors. Hmm. Hey, how you doing?
Then you go women mudding. Come a-running?
Then you go mudding. Sadly, it was his love of mudding that took his life. He was found in his 1984 Ford Bronco, stuck in the mud with the muffler and tailpipe beneath the mud's surface. They believe that's what caused the cabin of the Bronco to fill up with carbon monoxide, causing the death of Shane Gandy and two of his passengers.
That's crazy.
No one again will get to enjoy the Gandy cane.
Do you think they'll cancel the show, or do you think
MTV has announced they're ceasing production of it, at least for now? They haven't made a permanent decision on the show, but they said they are not going forward with a second season. Well, it's hard when one of your stars is dead and the other one's doing hard time for drug possession.
Yeah,
so
there's that.
They're starting to lose cast members at a rate, I think, quicker than they can replace them. But it's just a matter of time, really, if you watch that show at all. Because they turned like dump trucks into swimming pools, and they jump off the top of houses into a dump truck full of water. And
sure,
if it wasn't this, it was going to be something.
they were asking for it, pretty much.
It's just natural selection. That's all it is. Today's celebrity birthdays: Christopher Maloney. He's 52 years old today. Very talented actor from Law and Order SVU. Clark Gregg. Speaking of talented actors, he's the best. 51 years old today. We're going to see him soon in the new S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series.
Oh, right.
That Joss Whedon is providing for us. Rosalind Sanchez from Without a Trace is 40 years old. Adam Rodriguez is 38. Michael Fassbender turns 36 years old today. And Karen Woodward of Bananarama is 52.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just think of cold beer and the beach and just open up a fire hydrant in your neighborhood and causing dangerously low water pressure. Doesn't that ring? Nothing ringing a bell?
It makes me think of summer, yeah.
Well,
I like that song.
I do too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I brought up a story a week ago or so, Kevin, about a guy who did not react well to passing out at a party, actually in his own house, though, and waking up with penises drawn on his face with a Sharpie. You seem to think that he had it coming. Tell me about that. Explain that to me.
If you're dumb enough to pass out around your friends, and let's face it, there's a lot of levels before passing out. I mean, you could get sick, you could be completely tired, but when you pass out at a party, you're an irresponsible drinker, and anything goes.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Wait, and are you saying the person who passes out is an idiot, Lisa?
Yes.
Or Kevin is an idiot for suggesting that you deserve it if you pass out in your own home and wake up with penises drawn on your face?
Both could be true.
Yes, I think both are true.
But I would suggest that if this guy passed out in his own home with his roommates, it's a little different. But if you have anybody come in to a party from outside the house, dude, it's open season.
Yeah.
You're an idiot, and you deserve to have a penis drawn on your head with a marker. That's it.
Well, this is James Walker, 31 years old. He awoke and found out that it was, in fact, his roommate who had drawn the penis on his face. He was so ticked off that he went and assaulted his roommate, woke up his roommate, and started beating him, started hitting him in the face.
God.
He was so mad. A third roommate had to come in and break them up, but the second roommate, the one who got pummeled for drawing the penis, he decided to press charges. He called the police and they came and arrested this dude. And his defense was, I have a penis drawn on my face. And in fact, that even ended up on his mugshot.
Oh, his mugshot. That's awesome.
That's
so
just,
much worse than in your own house.
That's insult to injury when you have a penis on your face in your mugshot. So we started talking about this topic of your friends pass out. And Kevin thinks that not only should your friends be allowed to do whatever they want to you when you're passed out, but they have an obligation.
Yeah, more than that. It's a responsibility.
Right. You can't just let a drug friend sleep is what you're saying.
Not if they pass out at a party. And, you know, he's not going into his room and laying down and passing out.
Right.
Right. He wasn't in his own bed. He was on the couch. Right.
So douchebag, everybody get a marker. That's how it works.
So we wanted to.
The rules, Bean.
It's in the Constitution.
Right.
Look it up. I thought it would be fun to take some telephone calls of stories where either you've been the person who passed out and woke up to a bad surprise, or you were the one who inflicted the pain on a friend. We want to take stories of both at 1-800-520-1067. The kinds of things that have been done to people while they were passed out. And let's stay away from date rape if we could on the call.
No, nothing like that. Nothing illegal.
Beerbug, weren't you saying you had a particularly awesome story that involved a Sharpie with one of your friends too?
Oh yeah, we did the traditional penises all over his face while he was passed out in the middle of the party.
The traditional, by the way.
Traditional penises.
I like that it's penises too.
As is passed out from your grandparents,
right? And we decided, you know, we got our laughs from the penises, and that wasn't good enough, so we decided to take the entire tip of the Sharpie and cover his entire face black with black marker.
All right,
nice. Yeah.
That's sweet. It may be a little too much, but that's sweet.
Sharpie does come off, but it involves some pretty serious scrubbing, right? How long did it take your friend to get white again?
He had to get industrial strength, like, grease remover. And like, and it took him about 2 hours, and his wife was not happy.
Oh, my God.
Honey, now, why do you have a black face?
Seriously, that's inappropriate in this day and age. Blackface is out. So what about you, Kevin? I know you've had some stories.
I don't. I do the drawing. I usually don't pass out except for that one time at Coachella. mm-hmm. where we had that wonderful, wonderful Photoshop contest.
Yeah, we had a. Well, you became a me, which is pretty funny. Weren't you involved? Refresh my memory. Weren't you involved in something with our former sports guy Matt Money Smith? Was he the victim of some sort of Sharpie thing?
Yes, and Omar had just started. I believe it was Omar that did it.
Oh, was it Omar?
I think.
I knew it was the trip to Catalina coming back.
Yeah, and it was. It was coming back, yeah. And boy, did Money get mad. He got mad.
Well, you know why?
And I was surprised.
Because his wife got so mad.
Because his wife got angry.
Because he wasn't supposed to be probably pounding it like
right.
he did.
And his wife is way hotter than he is.
Yes.
Way out of his league.
Wait, why is that relevant?
No, I'm just saying when she gets mad, he listens. He listens because he shouldn't have her in the first place.
Oh, I see.
He got very angry about it, but Omar did the right thing. But Omar was scared to death because he just started. He's like, is that not what we do around here?
And I was,
we were like, sure, yes, we do.
Before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, and I'm going to want to go to Danny first here on line five. Kevin, let me ask you this, since you apparently know the rules. Are you allowed to get mad at someone if they do something to you when you're passed out?
I don't think so.
You're not
fair
game.
It depends on what they do. Is it a marker drawn on the face? Yeah. Is it something that's, you know, a lot worse? Then it depends on what's happening. But you're the idiot that passed out.
Right.
Okay. All right. So you're asking for it,
yes.
Basically. Okay.
You're demanding
Let's try Danny. He's on line five. We'll take one call real quick, then we'll come back with some more at 1-800-520-1067. Danny, you and your friends did what to another friend that passed out?
He passed out, and we super glued his toes together.
See, now that's just good fun, right?
God. Really?
How hard is that to get undone?
It was pretty classic. You guys, it came out, it was kind of like, you know, what's my feet burning for? You guys know what happened? We're like, no, we don't know. He just kind of was like, what is that? Saw some film. Ripped them out. Probably the loudest scream you've ever heard a grown man let out.
Oh, you just ripped it? Dude. Oh, that tears skin. There's no way to get that super glue off?
He got a couple little blisters and tears, but I don't know. He was kind of cool with it. So.
He knew he deserved it, right?
Exactly.
That's the man. Thank you.
I don't want to be friends with any of you guys.
You wouldn't pass out. If you would, man, would that be fun.
1-800-520-1067. I think this is going to be a very entertaining segment. We'll take your calls when we return on the Kevin DeBean Show on KIFF. Right now, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, a lot of our listeners, Kevin, have written these words on their friend's face in Sharpies. I heart penis.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Apparently, that has happened quite a bit.
Yeah.
Let's go to, we got so many good ones. Let's go to Mike. Mike is on line six, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about what you have done to your friends when they've been passed out, or you've been the passed out one. What has been done to you? Good morning, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good.
This is my story. Actually, we're on a cruise, a family cruise, and my brother-in-law passed out on the deck on one of those beach chairs.
Right.
We actually took the gel shaving cream, the gel where if you see it, it turns into gel and turns into, like, really thick after.
Right.
We took, like, six cans, and we pasted. We just painted his whole half his body. You couldn't even see his face. And we washed it. We washed it hidden in the bushes. And he woke up, and by this time it started turning white, so it got bigger. Well, he got up, and he just threw it off, and he just freaked out, ran up the stairs looking for us, and we followed him. You could see traces of the shaving cream through the whole ship. And when he found me, he was just trying to murder me. People had to hold him up because he knew it was me. We're all laughing at him.
Awesome.
We had other people watching him, staring at him and laughing at him, saying that was the best thing I've ever seen.
That, you did the right
thing.
That
was a good one, yeah. Guys,
I want you to think about six cans of shaving cream.
Yes. Yes. I'm in.
That's unbelievable. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Hey, let's talk to Andy real quick. Andy's on line five. He's calling to say there are some rules, Kevin, to when your friends are passed out drunk.
All right, Andy.
Good morning, guys.
What are the rules?
So I was in a fraternity back in college, and we had a rule that was if you had your shoes on and you passed out, it was fair game.
It's fair game, right?
Oh, shoes on.
Because you take your shoes off, that means you're sort of meaning to fall asleep.
Yeah, and you know, the area that we partied in had a lot of couches, so it was pretty conducive for passing out. And one of those nights, I drank way too much and decided to pass out on the pool table.
On the pool table, good.
Yeah, my shoes still on, and, you know, my brothers started going to town on my face, and I had a lady friend there who decided to take my shoes off for me.
She saved you.
That doesn't count. That's not
right,
fair.
Right, if you're already passed out, it totally doesn't count.
That's
absolutely.
It.
I don't think I want to hear more about your friends going to town on your face,
no.
But thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Travis. He's on line 7. You know, there's more than just drawing penises on somebody's face. Apparently, there's lots of other stuff you could do. Travis, welcome to the show. What'd you do to your friend?
We actually duct taped 45-pound weights to his feet, so that way when he woke up, he wasn't able to pull his feet to his chest to figure out why his feet were stuck to the ground.
That's pretty good.
I love the creativity.
That's pretty good. 40-pound weights duct taped to his feet. Love it. Thank you, Travis.
From the Kevin DeMead Facebook page, John writes in, one of my friends passed out from Everclear. He woke up to another guy sucking on his fingers. Well, that is...
What?
That's odd, right?
Can we end with Liz? We're not there yet, but can we end with her?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Garrett says, I woke up with the typical Hitler mustache, also penises on my face, and my hair bleached. That
Ooh,
guy.
Wow.
They really went to town.
Hair
him,
bleached.
Right? All right. Let's go to Sean. Sean apparently missed a lot while he was under. He's on line 2 here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You passed out? What happened?
Okay. So one of my friends challenged me to a shot competition, a female. And so I passed out on the couch thinking that I had lost. Well, I woke up the next morning to find that the paramedics had been there and that she had apparently puked all over herself.
Oh.
The paramedics had been there, and it was just a huge fiasco. This was at my own house, and I passed out on my own couch.
Did they do anything to you?
They didn't do anything to me, surprisingly, except for apparently I passed out on the floor and they carried me to the couch.
that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do when somebody passes out. You're supposed to carry them to the driveway or something.
Your friends are not following the rules, Sean. Get new friends.
By the way, I'm surprised we didn't get any of those stories, but don't a lot of people, they move their passed out friends so that they wake up in a completely unfamiliar scenario?
Sure.
That's a deal. That's a thing you could do, right?
I woke up in a bush.
Right. All right. You want to end with Liz here?
Sort of. I sort of want to, and I sort of don't. Hey, Liz.
Hi.
You took it a little further than most.
I mean, I don't think it was that bad, but she was pretty pissed off. I was at an apartment party.
Everyone was using the toilet is what you mean to say on the radio.
Yeah, we can't say the S word. Sorry, Liz.
Okay,
go ahead.
They were pooping and using socks. Toilet paper.
God.
What a classy party that was.
Why did you not leave? Horrible.
Was this a formal?
So this was like 6 in the morning. Like, it was light out, and this girl finally passes out. After, you know, nobody else has passed out, and so we take the sock.
Girls don't usually do this kind of
right.
stuff.
Right.
And she's worse than any of our callers.
I know.
Liz, you're a delicate little flower is what you are.
But you're following the rules, and for that...
Got an email from a listener yesterday who said he is desperate to take his wife to Depeche Mode at Staples Center, and he is willing to do anything to get those tickets.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of those.
Well, all you have to do is listen between 8 and 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's as simple as calling us up. You don't have to get a penis tattooed on your face or anything like that. You just have to dial the phone. So between 8 and 9 this morning, we'll give you a chance to Depeche Mode tickets in the fourth row, and we've got those for you all day long here on K-Rock. You can get your details at krock.com.
Ralph mentioned yesterday in his Showbiz Beat that he is leaving the show so that he can go attend Pasadena City College. And
okay.
we were all shocked by that, as we know he already graduated from college.
Right.
But apparently...
Why the sudden interest in PCC?
Well, they have a new course called Navigating Pornography.
Yay!
It's an elective. The course focuses on giving students tools to understand pornography as a historical and contemporary phenomenon.
I see. So they'll be studying it throughout the years.
Right.
'70s and '80s and '90s.
What kind of class is that?
I mean, I think there is an intelligent academic discussion that can be had about pornography.
Not by college students.
Not by college students. That's exactly the point. Well, let's find out more about the course and what they hope to teach the students in navigating pornography, which I'm sure, by the way, is the most popular course in the history of higher education.
Sure.
We asked Dave if he can line us up somebody from the school, and believe it or not, we have the professor of the course, Hugo Schweizer, joins us here on the world-famous K-Rock. Hi, Professor. How are you?
are you, sir?
Hello, how are you today?
We're
it's a
very
pleasure
good.
To speak with you. It's a, I don't know why you're laughing at the name. It's a long-standing family name, and it's
Hugo
very,
Schweizer,
yes,
right.
The Schweizers have been interested in pornography for their entire years here in America.
Now, was that your idea to start a class about pornography?
It was, yes. I thought that it was time for pornography to be given an interesting and, in retrospective, look for a scholastic aspects of it versus just the titillation factor, you see.
Right. So a safe, non-judgmental, intellectually thoughtful way is how you describe the discussion of porn going on in the class. Now, a lot of people will wonder, are you going – I mean, it seems – are you going to show porn in the classroom?
No, I believe that would be completely inappropriate to be showing pornography in
okay.
the classroom because it is a mixed class of boys and girls, and we do have co-eds of both sexes, and so it'd be appropriate not to show that there. However, if you read the syllabus of Navigating Pornography, which is the name of the class, then you understand that you do require viewing of said material at home, and then we will be writing papers and taking tests on whether you've seen it or not. I will know if you haven't seen it for sure.
Okay. So what are you trying to teach the kids about porn? That it's good or bad or just it exists or how to make successful porn? What's the mission of the course?
We pride ourselves in not making any sort of judgments regarding the material itself. Well, students today live in a porn-saturated culture. It is everywhere on
right.
the internet as well as in books and even in our advertising. You see very sexual images.
Sure.
So in a non-judgmental way, we'll be taking a look at the effect on pornography in modern society, why some people love pornography and other people are deeply troubled by it.
And what do you want listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show to know about this course that maybe isn't being covered in the news right now?
Well, I want the students to make decisions about porn in their own lives, deciding how to use it and how not to use it, and how to have a intellectual conversation with others about porn without reducing it to its lowest common denominator.
I see.
So there's a list of education-themed pornography that you will have to view in order to pass the class.
Education-themed pornography?
Yes, we have a list of films that is required viewing for the class being here.
Okay.
Of course, we start off with The Principal's 12-Inch Ruler. It's one of the films you'll have to watch.
Okay.
Teacher's Suggestion Box is Full. Another one of the films we're asking people to take a look at.
All right.
Stuffing Her Peachy Folder.
That sounds painful, but okay.
Of course, its sequel, Filling Her Backpack, also has to be looked at in the Mrs. Jones Likes the Blackboard.
Just talking about the classroom, I understand, yeah.
Films needed to be seen in the classroom because they are education-themed.
Right.
Clapping the Teacher's Erasers.
I didn't know some of these existed.
Oh, yeah. These are all education-themed pornography that work perfectly for the syllabus for the class itself.
I see.
Show Your Work on My Face.
Come on now. That's a real movie?
It is. In Between Periods.
No.
You have to show them. Well, it's students in between their classes.
Oh,
when they're going
right. From class. Right. I see. Our bad.
Tutor, I hardly even know her. And then for the final, you'll need to watch Hot Gravy on the Lunch Lady.
I think I'm going to pass on the final exam, actually. All right.
Are you laughing, sir?
No. It's a very serious course. Live and high.
So we're going to meet the man who's in love with inflatable pool toys next? That's
yep.
what's happening?
15 of them, Bean.
Wow. pool toys.
Give me those floaties.
Full size.
Yeah.
And not just the little round circles either, like a giant Shamu that's as tall as the guy is.
Can't wait. That's My Strange Addiction from TLC. We'll talk about that on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. David Alan Greer next hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. Want to give you a heads up this week if you're interested in seeing Hollywood Babylon, the entertainment news program that I do with my friend Kevin Smith at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. It is Friday night this week, Friday night at 8 p.m. If you'd like to come out, some people have said they can't make it on Saturdays. They work or whatever. So if you want to see it on Friday night at 8 p.m.
Plus we have April Foolishness.
And plus April Foolishness yeah. is Saturday night, yeah. So we're doing it Friday night. Go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com for more details and to get your tickets to see Kevin Smith and I talk about people who are richer, better looking, and have better careers than we do.
Saturday!
No, Friday. Friday. One of the things we'll be talking about are celebrities saving lives.
Yeah, another
celebrities who save lives.
Woo!
It happens, Kevin. I know you hate it. I know you hate when people save other people's lives, but it happens.
Well, Kevin, his policy has always been that if a celebrity sees somebody who is in a car accident and needs to be pulled out of a burning car or something like that, he should just keep on driving. He should just leave him on the side of the road, not help.
While that's fascinating, my opinion is that these are greatly exaggerated.
Well,
almost every one of these stories is greatly exaggerated because they're a celebrity.
I'm glad to know that Heidi Klum doesn't think like Kevin does.
Yeah.
While she was busy saving the lives of three people in a riptide in Hawaii, over the weekend, her son Henry, 7, and his two nannies were being swept away by a riptide. Pretty poor nannies, in my opinion.
Two of them for one kid.
Two of them, and they can't save Henry from drowning. So Heidi immediately leapt into action in her very small bikini.
All right.
Went out into the ocean and pulled them out.
This one I believe because I want to. Because she's hot.
The nanny said, "We got pulled into the ocean by a big wave." Heidi said, "Of course, as a mother, I was very scared for my child and everyone else in the water." So she went out and grabbed Henry and the nannies and pulled everybody out of the riptide and got them back to the shore safely.
Have you guys ever been in a riptide?
I have. Yes, yes.
I have. You swim like a madman and you're twice as far away as you were when you started.
It's really awful.
Well, now, maybe next time Heidi Klum will be there to save you.
Or not, because she knows I mock these stories.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe she'll just let you die and say, "Ha, see, now I bet you wish celebrities saved lives."
That would be the best.
Yes.
Why was Heidi able to swim through this riptide, but the two, I assume, adult nannies were not?
Getting out there is not a problem, but getting away from a riptide, you just have to swim sideways.
Yeah, they say go along the shore until eventually it releases you, and then you can
head
in.
They're not that wide, but you think if you just swim forward, that does not work. But just sideways.
Yeah.
But two nannies, one kid. Let's get back to that.
Pretty impressive.
I think she had all of her kids with her, so that's why she had the two nannies, but only Henry was in the water at the time. So Entertainment Tonight obtained photos of her springing into action and pulling the group out of the water. So it's been documented, Kevin. So
I'm in.
Why don't you just take your hatred someplace else? We have no room for it here. We're all about love.
On
the
we
Kevin
are?
And Bean Show.
Wait, we're all about love?
Yeah, sure we are.
I didn't know that.
That's how you get it done.
That's why.
See?
Yeah.
Learn, kids.
Learn, kids. Because we're full of love, that's why we're watching the Bible, right? Everyone watching the Bible on History Channel, the 10-part miniseries that
learning so much.
Just wrapped up. Not just good, but great ratings for this miniseries. Sunday night's last episode pulled in an average of 12 million viewers.
Wow!
All the other episodes of the 10-part miniseries pulled in over 10 million viewers apiece.
What is that like compared to, say, a hit on ABC or CBS or NBC?
It's as good, if not better, than most everything on broadcast television.
Wow.
Let alone
now,
cable.
They were smart to schedule it the way they did because that final episode was on Easter Sunday,
sure,
when a lot of people are kind of in the mood for that sort of story. But that also means it was up against the Ten Commandments, which a certain amount of religious people would have been watching,
yeah,
too.
But everybody's seen the Ten Commandments.
Probably so, yeah.
If you're into that kind of thing, you're bored to death of Chuck Heston in that BS beard of his. But this is a new show, and you can check it out. By the way, I did not know this. Mark Burnett produced the miniseries.
Yes.
Our friend, Survivor creator Mark Burnett.
Yep.
In fact, his wife, Roma Downey, starred as the Virgin Mary in the series. Mark's signature production style was all over the production at the very end. When Jesus was up on the cross, they said the tribe has spoken, and they snuffed out a torch.
I don't think.
They did.
I don't think
so. I saw
so.
It.
I don't.
The Roman guards came up and said, "The tribe is spoken."
That's not, that didn't happen.
And then he went into that cave, and the next thing you know, came back out 3 days later. Very exciting. More cable ratings news. AMC's Walking Dead did even better than the Bible with their season 3 finale.
Wow.
A record-breaking 12.4 million total viewers. And that's before you even add in the people who DVR'd it. As the Hollywood Reporter notes in their story, considering the show is up against the Bible finale and the season 3 premiere of Game of Thrones, which pulled in over 4 million viewers, it's astounding that Walking Dead did the numbers that it did. So
I heard that was the highest ratings they've ever had for that
show. Yeah, it was record-breaking.
So, does that mean we're going to hell because we watched The Walking Dead instead of the Bible?
Yes. Well, it's all about dudes coming back to life after they've
been
dead.
Yeah, Jesus
right?
is the Walking Dead, really.
It's all the same thing.
Not a zombie, though, Bean, I don't think.
And how about those celebrity practical jokers on April Fool's Day? Aren't they cut-ups? Aren't they cards? James Franco and Seth Rogen excited a lot of people when they released the trailer for the movie Pineapple Express 2 yesterday.
I like that movie.
A lot of people did not recognize what day it was, and so they got very excited on the internet. Turns out it was just an April Fool's joke. You won't be seeing a Pineapple Express 2 anytime soon. And here's another celebrity with a hilarious April Fool's Day gag, although she may be a little deficient in knowing what day April Fool's is.
Uh-oh.
Posted on Twitter in the wee hours of April 2nd was Lindsay Lohan's tweet.
Of course. Of course.
It's official. Pregnant was her tweet.
Can you imagine?
She was tweeting her official pregnancy. It was April 2nd, though, when she was tweeting it. So just missed it by
Jesus.
That much.
Just,
can she do nothing right?
Well, you know she was out at the clubs just boozing until all hours.
She can get out of a helicopter, right?
Yes, she can. I'll
tell you that.
She stumbled into her hotel room and said, it's April Fool's Day! And started tweeting and didn't realize it was April 2nd. So people are speculating, do you think she's really pregnant? Like, Stop it.
I've got an awesome April Fool's Day prank I'm going to wait for sometime this summer to unleash.
Good.
Good man. That's when people see it coming the least.
That's right.
That's right. Hit him in August with it, man.
Yep.
That's when it works. Today's celebrity birthdays, Christopher Maloney of Law & Order SVU. Amazingly talented actor. He's really good. 52 years old today. Clark Gregg, while we're talking about talent. Boy, is he good. I can't wait for that new S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show he's going to be starring in as Agent Coulson. Or Agent Coulson's evil twin or something. I don't know how they're going to bring Coulson back from the dead. Maybe it's one of those Jesus deals or something. 51 years old today. Rosalind Sanchez from Without a Trace is 40 years old. Adam Rodriguez, very talented actor, is 38. And Michael Fassbender, who's got a lot of talent in his pants. He's 36 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The hilarious David Alan Greer joins us later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. The equally hilarious Brad Williams will be in studio with us tomorrow. He, of course, is one of the bands. Ha! One of the comedians you're going to be able to see this Saturday night at Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Just 2013. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets coming up this morning, too. It's all on the way here at K-Rock.
My Strange Addiction is the name of a bizarre show on TLC, Wednesdays at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where they find these people, but they find some weirdos.
They do say on the show, hey, if you have a strange addiction, contact us. But I can't believe how many seasons this thing has been on and how they continue to just unearth people who are just, well, they're mentally insane, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the woman that ate sand.
Right.
That's definitely not normal.
Stop that. Stop doing that. This guy is a little different.
My name is Mark. I'm 20 years old, and I'm in a relationship with 15 inflatable animals.
20 years old in a relationship, which he does not use ironically,
yes.
with 15 inflatable pool toys.
Now, I find it interesting that he's polyamorous rather than just being in a committed relationship with one toy.
That he's in a relationship with all 15?
Yeah.
Well, you'll find out later that he does favor one.
Yes,
I see. Okay.
But this is why he is attracted to the pool animals.
My inflatables are the funnest creatures I have to hang out with in my life. I'll eat with them.
Wait, you want my food? Do this your own.
Watch TV together.
Be fine. I'll find a show you like.
Okay, now, I'm not positive I buy this guy. Because when he's eating, he's like, get food of your own. He's telling these other inflatable pool animals that are sitting at the table with him. Mm-hmm. And then he's watching TV on the couch and he says, I'll find something you like. I mean, really?
Right.
So he's talking to inanimate objects, and it makes you wonder if he's goofing, or is he really just a person who can't interact with humans?
Well, it's been years since he began this relationship.
Mark's addiction to inflatables began 6 years ago when he purchased a whale for his pool. Since then, the 20-year-old college student has added 14 animals to his inflatable family, and even prefers them over people.
The thing about inflatable pool toys I love is that...
What do you think he's going to say?
Is that the thing I love about inflatable toys? What
they
is it, Lisa?
Don't judge you.
Ooh, good one.
They're soft. They're cuddly. The bigger they are, the better they are. Kind of means there's more to love. And it's really nice to have somebody to talk to.
No, Sammy, you don't get any of my soda, okay?
You don't get any of my soda, you crazy inflatable animal.
I mean, I think the crux of his problem is it's nice to have somebody to talk to. He has no friends and no girlfriend. That's what's going on here. So he just that's his damage is that he just decided they're his friends.
And he's not a great looking guy, but he's a really average looking 20-year-old that could, you know, get laid. He could.
This is sad if he's at this point at 20. I was hoping he was like 60.
For 6 years it's been going on, Bean.
Wow.
Can he leave the house without him?
Now he's so dependent on his inflatables, he can't be separated from them for more than a day.
When I'm at school, I start missing them, and it's almost like if I'm going a little bit crazy.
No, it's like you're going a lot crazy. Dumbass.
He misses them.
And these
so he can't travel anywhere.
These inflatable pool toys are also huge, like his size. You know, the whale is as tall as he is. So he loves that, and he sleeps with one of them on top of him at all times. Now, what does he do when he misses the animals and he finally gets home?
Once I go home, basically give him a hug, give him a kiss, spend like family time together.
By the way, that is a kiss.
Yeah, he's kissing him.
To the mouth of the inflatable animal.
And again, no pool, right?
Oh,
lots of pool toys, no pool.
He does have a pool, and he uses it occasionally, but these are all indoor inflatable pets.
In the house, okay. Yeah. Right.
They didn't make him stay outside. That'd be cruel.
Okay, we can talk more about you if we want.
Let's say every one of my inflatables has a different personality.
A little daddy, don't you?
Some like different types of music, some don't. Some like to just be lazy and sleep all day.
I'd like to suggest they all want to be lazy and sleep all day.
I'd like to suggest they don't have separate personalities, too, by the way. They're all exactly the same personality, which is we are an inflatable pool toy.
Now, does he love all 15 the same?
While Mark never tries to play favorites, Lila the dragon holds a special place in his heart.
She basically is like a wife to me. She's very pretty and some of the sweetest eyes and smile that, quite frankly, I've ever seen.
You're my pretty girl.
You're my pretty girl.
Obviously.
Dude, he's 20. Haven't you given up on life if this is what you're doing at 20?
He loves his wife so much.
If I could marry Lila, I would, because I am that much in love with her.
He would marry her.
We know a guy who married a bridge. I think it's possible.
Yeah, well, he's just damaged, I would say. So what they do is, you know how they always have an intervention? They always have them go to a doctor?
Yeah. Right, well, right.
In his case, it's not a physical thing like eating sand was.
Right.
So they go to a therapist's office, and you see him walking into the therapist's office holding Shamu.
Of course.
Or whatever it is. And she says, you really need to, here's some good advice, you really need to see if you can form some more human relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay, I'll really give that a try.
These guys can be there for me like all the time, every day, 24/7, whenever I need them. And it's just, also, I guess I've always had kind of a trouble dealing with people.
Yeah, he's always had trouble dealing with
people. He basically, there are lots of people who have this exact relationship with their pets. Their pets are their companionship. They're the ones they talk to. They're the ones they miss. They're the ones who are excited to get home.
Big difference, though, in that their pets are alive.
Absolutely. I'm saying he definitely is taking it to another level. I wonder if it would behoove him to get a dog or get a cat, and maybe that'll be the entry point into, you know, interacting with live things.
Next time, a woman who is addicted to getting butt injections.
I want to hear this so
and
bad.
And you watch her walk down the street, and I swear to God, my first thought was, that has to be Photoshopped. She's not a fat woman, but her ass is...
It's got to be a lumpy, too,
huge,
right?
Huge, just monstrous, ridiculous. She has 54 shots that she's taken that she meets a woman who has no certification in a hotel.
And she goes in to have her butt plumped up, right? That's the look she wants, is to make it bigger than it is.
She's only estimating that she needs 35 more.
Oh, my God!
So TLC Wednesdays at 9, My Strange Addiction. I believe this probably would relate to every single person on this show.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Thanks a lot for joining us here on the program. You know, there are lots of different ways that you can get in touch with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got a pretty active community on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. You can always contact us on Twitter, at Kevin and Bean. You can send us emails. You can get all those email addresses through kevinandbean.com or krock.com. We actually hear from a lot of listeners about a lot of things. And it's interesting sometimes to see the follow-up on topics that we're speaking about. For instance, this one. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm a podcast listener. I was listening to the show. Kevin, you might have been out when I was talking about how I got the shakedown at the car wash. I don't think you heard that story.
I didn't.
But I went in to get my car washed, and the guy who was going to be vacuuming out the car came up and really put the full court press on, man. He shook my hand and introduced himself and said, I'm the guy who's going to be doing your car today, and I hope you'll remember me and take care of me, and just went on and on and on. It was obvious he was expecting a big tip.
I want a big tip.
I said, and I gave him what the room decided was an overly generous tip, right? Lisa, I'm not exaggerating that.
Really good tip.
Okay. Yeah. Really good tip. And he still expected even more because I asked him, I'm like, what did you mean by I'm going to take care of you? I gave him a $12 tip, Kevin. He was looking for $20.
How much was the car wash?
$28.
What?
Yes, and I gave him 12, which made it 40. He was hoping for 20, and I was thinking, I'm not buying a new car. I'm just getting it washed and vacuumed out, right?
That's on that guy.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of reaction on the email. This one, Dear Bean, podcast listener, I was catching up on the show, heard about the guy that asked for a tip before he did any work on your car. If that had been me, I would have been ticked off. It's unspoken. They're already going to get a tip, so asking is inexcusable. On a $28 car wash, my feeling is that a $5 tip would have been more than fair. You overpaid. However, thanks to the guy asking you for one, I would have tipped for the amount of time he worked on my car. If $9.19 is minimum wage, he did it for 30 minutes, I would have given him $4.59 in exact change and told him to enjoy it. Fire beer mug, Eddie, P.S. Hi, Lisa May. And believe it or not, you know, you guys always make fun of me for being cheap, but fairly universally from the email, people thought that I, in that case at least, was a little too generous, especially since the guy was begging for it.
Yeah, well, you were shamed into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was.
True.
I don't believe every email that comes in. We were just talking last hour about pranks that you play on people when they pass out.
Yeah.
And how it's fair game as long as you have your shoes off. I mean, on. As long as you have your shoes on. This one comes in from James. If this happened, it's the best ever. I doubt it, though. He says, we duct taped my friend to the ceiling.
How do you do that?
I don't know. But again,
you have to hang him from something?
I'm not sure I buy it, but if it happened, that's awesome.
We need pictures.
We need pictures indeed.
And you know they had to take pictures if they were able to pull something like that on. That's not the type of thing that you don't want a record of. That's amazing. I've got two on that topic. Lisa writes in about what you do to your friends with their passed out. We waged psychological warfare on our passed out friend. We told him that every guy at the party teabagged him. What actually happened is we put real teabags on him, not scrotums. We let him think for weeks that he had been the other kind of teabagged, and then we finally told him the truth. We even claimed that we had pictures. Torture can be fun. So psychological warfare, that may even be worse, by the way, is to tell them things that didn't happen while they were passed out. This one from Nathan. Hey, Kevin and Bean, when we were young, one of my friends passed out, and we got some dog poop and a Q-tip, and we put the Q-tip and put it on, you know, put the dog poop on it, and then made a mustache on his face, so when he woke up, everywhere he went, he kept smelling dog poop. He made everybody check their shoes, but it was on his face. What kind of friend? Come on.
A good friend. That is what that guy deserved. Listening to Friday's podcast, and again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening to podcasts. That's an extra step that is crazy, but really appreciate it. You can go to iTunes or krock.com and subscribe. Listening to Fridays, it gets up at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. It depends on who's doing it. If it's Beer Mug, it may never get up. Listening to Friday's podcast with the Walking Dead creator, and I'm 100% with you, Kill Carl. By the way, we're in the minority. I think the Kill Carl crowd, in the minority. I don't believe that's how most people feel. He and that stupid hat he wears, if they aren't going to kill him, at least recast him. He sucks. And, of course, fire Beer Mug.
Obviously. Hey, guys, and Lisa May, ding, ding, ding. I'm an avid listener since 1995 when I was a student at CSUN. Here I am 18 years later, still laughing my ass off, now living in San Francisco. I listen to you guys via an intermittent connection on my iPhone. Anyhow, I just want to let you know how very important it is for me to hear Don't Bogart That Joint on Fridays. It's to the point where I will not even schedule meetings at work between 9:30 and 10, and everyone knows to stay out of my office so I can count down the minutes until that sweet, sweet steel guitar kicks in. The clips and the sound bites totally recap the week and put a big smile on my face, helping me get through until happy hour. Let's do it for another 18 years. Let's not be crazy, all right, Paul? Thanks for all the fun. Don't ever get rid of the Friday song. Please fire Beer Mug, Paul, San Francisco. Go Dodgers. Must be tough for him being a Dodgers fan in San Francisco.
No kidding.
You listen on his phone every day, every week, Friday at 9:30, just to hear that song is very cool. And let me close with this one. This was on the topic of butt dialing that we did a few days ago. Remember we had those all those stories people called in? Hey, Kevin and Bean and Lisa, Laura writes, a while ago, an old boyfriend of mine were getting busy in the backseat of his car, but he still kind of had his pants on with his cell phone on it. It somehow dialed his mom. She answers and hears the moanings. Well, it ends up leaving a voicemail on her phone, too. I heard a dial tone. We stopped to see that he had called his mother four times, leaving three voicemails with nothing but our moaning. He literally rushed to his house to delete the voicemails before his mom heard them all. Well, it turned out it was too late. She had heard them. He managed to convince her that we were at the movies and that we had accidentally called her during a sex scene in the film.
Oh, please.
That's pretty good thinking, by the way, to try to pull that off.
Yeah, but
right?
She didn't buy it.
She said, you guys watch filthy movies, and that girl sounded like a total slut. Of course, the girl was her. I avoided his mom for weeks. I was terrified that she would somehow recognize my voice. Love the podcast. Fire beer mug. Thank you, Laura.
Just got a tweet from the actual professor from the porn class at Pasadena College.
Oh, you're kidding.
Saying,
right?
Saying, how come you don't talk to me? Why do you talk to Funny Ralph voice?
So we're going to talk. The real guy who's teaching the class on pornography at Pasadena City College, he contacted you.
Yes, we're going to talk to him tomorrow.
That's fantastic.
Wow. That's awesome.
I love that.
It won't be as funny as Ralph's, but it'll be interesting.
That's great. Hey, your chance to win your way into Kevin and Bean's sold-out April Foolishness 2013 coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the world-famous K-Rock, so stand by for that. Kevin, you don't have a team anymore to root for in the Final Four, right, for NCAA? I certainly don't. My school didn't even make the tournament this year. Let me tell you about a little Michigan Wolverines fan who couldn't be more excited right now, who's on the phone with us right now. The great David Alan Greer joins us here on K-Rock. Hi, Dave. How are you, man?
The victor's valiant tale to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders of the West. Hail!
That's a terrible song.
It is really bad.
Yeah, it is. Your team looks good, by the way. They're not just skating here. They're winning big.
Let me tell you something. When the white boy on the bench is hitting three-pointers.
Right. That's good. Right. That's how you know you got it going on, right?
We good. When all the black dudes are twirling towers going, towels going, that's right, go on and get it, go on, Sting. You know you're hot.
Don't you know you're hot when they put in the white guy?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? I knew that game was going to be a blowout.
You did.
It was.
They won the previous game, and it was really tight. I was about to turn the TV off until the last part. All of a sudden, Bert came alive, and he said, "Shakow!" But enough about him.
Look, you're a big-time star. Are you going to go and demand your courtside seats for the Final Four this weekend in Atlanta?
I'm sorry. Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, the phone went off. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
He said you're a big star.
Oh, I'm... I don't know. I don't have that kind of pull.
You know, I would think you would. Aren't you one of the most... You have to be one of the most famous Michigan alums, right?
I went to a couple games before. I've never gone... I'm not the big college, you know, game dude. As a matter of fact, when I went back to Ann Arbor, it was nothing really... There were a lot of kids there, but there were a lot more alums. And I didn't really like that look. But, I mean, I wish them well. I like watching at home. I'm good.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Now, David Alan Greer is on the phone because, well, first of all, we miss him and love him and haven't talked to him in a long time.
I'm a dad now.
I know you're very busy. I know you're on dad duty.
I told you I'm doing an interview. I love being a... I'm going to get you. I'm love being a parent.
It sounds like it. We can tell.
Yeah. And tiny little kids, they respond well to, I'm doing an interview. That's important to them.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I tied her to the table. She's cool.
All right, good. Dag is going to be doing what sounds like potentially an amazing show with a bunch of people on Thursday night, April the 18th. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. You are going to be where?
I'm going to be at that place with Charlie Murphy, the Wayleans brothers. Sean and Marlon, and not Marvin. A lot of people think there's a Marvin Wayans, but
there's not
a Marvin Wayans. We're going to be right out in the desert, man. Right,
San Manuel. You're going to be at the San Manuel Casino,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. San Manuel Casino with Charlie Murphy, the Wayans, and myself, and we're going to be kicking it hard.
Now, is this, you guys are all, are you, is it like a sketch thing where you're all going to be on stage together? Or is everybody doing individual acts?
We're not going to be running through the audience going, person, place, or thing. All right, who wants to stand on stage and be an inanimate object? Okay, what's your name? Sandy. Sandy from the high desert. He's going to be a phone booth. No, we're not doing
that. But you are a barbershop quartet.
We're not doing that either.
Okay, all right.
On the space shuttle, we're not doing anything.
It seems like you haven't done a lot of stand-up in Southern California in recent years. Am I high? Is that my imagination or no?
You are high, but it's
okay.
Not, I mean, I don't usually, you know, I do some. I mean, I did a couple of, I do sets. I don't do shows. You know, I work out at clubs and stuff.
Okay.
But no, it's not like I'm killing it, you know, at, let's see, I'm going to name a premier comedy space.
Okay.
John Lovitz. Okay, never mind. No, you're right.
I want to ask you this, Dag, because I follow you on Twitter, and I feel like you're close to a meltdown. It seems to me like your recent tweets, you are not in a good emotional place, and I don't know if this is just lack of sleep because of the kids or what, but for instance, your most recent tweet, sometimes I wish I were a gorilla. When people film me without permission, I could just poop in my hand and throw it at them. Hashtag leave me alone. What's
all
going
right,
on?
Let me tell you how.
First of all, that would be awesome.
I wanted to do, because yesterday I was at the airport. Same with my daughter. You know, if I'm by myself, it's a different thing. I'm with my daughter. Some creepy dude just whips out his cell phone and starts filming us.
Right.
You know?
Video,
and I couldn't
you mean?
Do anything. Because first of all, she's very young.
Right.
I don't want to bring her into this.
Right.
It's just this one guy.
But you also don't want people taking video of your children.
Exactly,
I completely understand
exactly.
that.
And she's very young, you know, and so what I really wanted to do is go and punch that guy.
Right.
But that's not right. That's not right either. So I was just trying to vent my anger in a, I thought it was kind of funny.
Kind of a safe way.
I didn't really say anything, you know, and my daughter was like, Daddy, what is it now? Why are you with your machine? I was like, hold on.
Just a minute. Let me tie you to a table. I got a tweet.
Wait. So then we get on the plane, and this chick comes on with her emotional dog support dog.
Oh, that's such BS.
She's like growling, barking, snapping at people, and it was just like, oh my gosh.
You didn't want that. You didn't need that in your life at all.
Well, we needed emotional support from the emotional support.
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, it was not, I mean, usually that's when I like tweet. I mean, that's better than, what do you want, you know? God loves you. Peace.
Yeah. No, this is a safe outlet for you to get your frustration off your chest without confronting the people in front of you. I mean, you had a tweet from a couple days before that. Note to the world, I don't want or need to hug each and every person I meet.
Okay,
again,
to me.
I feel like humanity is starting to wear you down, David.
Listen to me. This is a national crisis.
All right.
Fat lady at the Exxon station, I don't want to hug you.
Right.
Homeless man, I don't want to hug you.
Right.
It seems like there's a rash of people who don't only want hugs, they demand them.
And it's the unclean.
Total. It not only the unclean, it's people that I don't know, I don't care about, I've never met, I'll never see again, and they look at you. The handshake is dead. We need to bring it back. Because when you shake someone's hand these days, that's offensive.
That's true.
That's offensive. I'm
That's
talking
true.
About the bagger at Ralph's. I don't know you.
I went in for a hug, and he just shook my hand.
Yeah. No. That's what they do. They really get offended. They won't even shake your hand. It's like, man, don't offend me like that. I want a full body hug, and I'm not wearing boxes. It's not cool, man. It's not
cool. It is interesting that the hug used to be a very personal thing that was for close friends and family members only, but now it has replaced the handshake as the standard. And I also will tell you that increasingly, and I see this on TV all the time when guys meet on talk shows and stuff like that, it's not just a hug. It's a kiss on the cheek, guy now, too.
No, I don't want it.
I've seen a lot of it.
It's too much. And the response I got on Twitter was here, we got to bring back the handshake.
Handshake, okay.
I don't want, exactly. Grandma's, auntie, brother-in-law going to war, those are the people that need hugs.
Right.
Just, you know, desperados you're never going to see again.
All right, so April 18th, San Manuel. The rule of thumb here is go to Ticketmaster, buy your ticket, see a great show, Charlie Murphy on the bill, some of the Wayans brothers, a couple of them, who knows which ones are which. And I think only two of them are going to be there. But go see the show, enjoy the show, laugh your ass off at the show. Don't go in for a hug if you run into Dag in the lobby. That's the moral of the story here.
Because now I know people are going to line up. Can't get a hug.
That is correct. Ticketmaster.com. David, when you don't have the kids to worry about one morning, come in and see us. We miss you, buddy.
I would love to come
in. We miss you.
I would love to come in.
We don't miss you that much.
I would love to come in, but I'm glad this worked out. Thanks for being
I am too.
Flexible.
You no, bet. Of course.
And
of course,
listen,
man.
I'm going back to the happy tweets.
All right,
Sean. All right, we're very happy for you. Thanks.
All right, man.
Talk to you soon, Dag. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And free stuff this hour, I understand.
It's April 2nd. And I want to give away some stuff. We've got tickets to go hang at Santa Anita Racetrack with some of your favorite K-Rock personalities. People like Stryker, Cat Corbett, Nicole Alvarez, Lightning, Omar, Dave the King of Mexico. All of these people will be at Santa Anita.
No beer mug?
This Saturday. No beer mug.
Oh, this is the best Santa Anita ever.
This Saturday, April the 6th at Santa Anita Racetrack. It's a K-Rock infield concert featuring Iration. It's just a great day. You go there and you bet on the ponies and you drink beer and you eat food out of food trucks. And it's just a blast. You should go. Racing starts at, around noon. Gates open at 10 a.m. Get there early because it always fills up. It's going to be quite the event. And to encourage you to attend, I'm going to give you something sweet. Two winners are going to get the VIP package. This means...
Get to ride a horse?
No, sadly. Oh. You don't get to be a jockey. But you get free admission for four people. That's a big deal right there. Then you get backstage access. So you can see Lightning getting ready before he goes out to feed people dog poop for a t-shirt. Eight drink tickets and $106. It's a voucher to bet on the ponies. You're betting with the house's money. You get $106 to place your wager. That means if you win, you're out nothing. It's all profit. Boy, what a good deal.
If you lose, you're out nothing.
That's true, too, but I like to think positively.
All right.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call, and the first two callers that get through with that number will get the VIP package for this Saturday's K-Rock event at Santa Anita Racetrack in beautiful Arcadia, California, just east of Pasadena. They're off the 210. As I mentioned, it is Tuesday, April the 2nd, the best day of the year, not just because it's finally not April Fool's Day and all the douchebags who do April Fool's Day jokes have stopped. It's because it's the greatest day of the year. It is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
It's peanut butter jelly time.
Come on.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at?
Where you at?
There you go. There you go.
Where you at?
There you go. There you go. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
It's official Peanut Butter and Jelly Day.
Who knew? Why do you have peanut butter and jelly with a baseball bat?
Everybody knows that's the best way to eat one.
Why does that exist?
Why are we working today? Shouldn't this be
no
a national
idea.
Holiday? That
it
sounds
really
like
should.
Communism. To
Is
make
there
us work.
A better culinary combination than peanut
no.
butter and jelly on
no.
a sandwich?
No, it's the best food in the world.
It's the best. There's never a bad time. You never say, what's for lunch? Oh, peanut butter and jelly. You're never disappointed with that answer.
You're going to go, oh.
Oh, really? You go, woohoo! That's what you do. Very excited. I'm going to home and eat like eight of them to celebrate.
Good luck with that.
While we're talking about April Fool's Day pranks and people who may not quite get it, this morning in the early hours of April the 2nd, Lindsay Lohan tweeted, "It's official, pregnant."
This morning, though, on the 2nd.
This morning, she tweeted that. Could it be?
Anyone fall for it?
That Lindsay's actually pregnant?
No.
Or does she just have a horrible sense of timing?
What if she's really pregnant? We're just taking for granted it's a bad timing.
I can't imagine she, of all people, would announce that via Twitter. She's always bitching about leave me alone, and everybody's all up in my grill and whatnot. But it would explain why her massive can was hanging out of her shirt when she was getting off a helicopter in Brazil this week. Maybe she's already filling up with baby food. Yeah, people think it's just a gag that perhaps she didn't recognize.
I hope that's it.
The timing. Timing.
Bitches are crazy.
Plus, who in their right mind would have sex with Lindsay Lohan without a condom? Really?
That's a good point.
Who would dare? Who would dare to take... Bear Grylls wouldn't do that if you had dropped them in the middle of her legs and said, "Nah, you just have to survive on your own." He would fashion one out of tree bark or something. He would find some way to protect himself.
Sounds comfortable.
Even he's not that bold.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Well, thank you, Harvey. I appreciate it. More details about the death of Shane Gandy, star of MTV's Buck Wild, found dead in his car yesterday. He was found partially submerged in a deep mud pit after he told friends at 3 o'clock in the morning with apparently a load on he was going to go mudding. Listen, people, mudding is serious business. Don't go drunk mudding. If you take anything away from our show today.
It's an important point.
Stay safe and sober when you're mudding.
It is funny that the governor and others in West Virginia were concerned that this MTV Buck Wild show would cast their state in a negative light.
Yeah.
And now look at it. The rest of the country is going, seriously, you died mudding outside of carbon monoxide poisoning? What a moron.
They found the truck partially submerged in mud. They speculate that the mud covered the muffler and tailpipe, which caused the cab of the Ford Bronco to fill up with carbon monoxide from the exhaust. And that was fatal for Gandhi and his two passengers.
Windows didn't work.
Window rolling down.
Not tough.
All you would have needed to do. Seems. Open the door. Get out of the truck. There's lots of options there instead of death.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
I upset a lot of people this morning with a tweet I sent out. It was a fake headline attached with a picture.
Right.
It was a picture of Shane Gandy in Happier Times.
Right.
Leaning up against what looked like a park bench. With a line of what must have been a dozen slain squirrels that he apparently had killed.
Jeez.
And he was looking forward to some sort of barbecue or something. It just looked like a squirrel Armageddon there on the table next to him.
Squirrel-ageddon.
And so I posted the fake headline, Shane Gandy's death, America mourns, squirrel community rejoices. And some people thought that was wildly inappropriate and very upset with me. To which I say, in my defense, dude killed a lot of squirrels.
Good point.
So that's what I'm saying.
And he was on
Squirrel!
And he was on Buck Wild.
And he was on Buck Wild. Britney Spears is trying to show her boyfriend that she has turned over a new leaf. That she's not the same crazy party girl she was before. Star Magazine's reporting that Britney has announced to her new boyfriend, David Lucado, that she has changed her ways so she won't be having sex with him.
What?
Yeah. She's going to wait. Into the relationship gets more serious before she starts having sex with him.
So huh?
She's withholding the sex.
Let's slow down on the personal improvement project, shall we?
She's not the same old slutty girl she used to be. She's a brand new girl.
That's not going to last long.
How disappointed is that guy? Because one of the things you see has to be the upside of dating Britney Spears is you get to bang Britney Spears.
Right, that's the only payoff that's worth it.
It's a short list of pros. Versus a long list of cons.
I mean, I guess you don't really have to pay for anything is on the pro list, maybe,
yeah,
right? She's taking
items,
care of you financially,
right.
But yeah, I would think her personality alone is not enough to keep a guy interested.
Save money
think.
On shoes. You don't have to buy her any shoes.
That's
for
true,
gift.
Right?
She's good at mudding.
Yeah,
that's another pro.
It's probably true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Maloney, very talented actor from Law & Order SVU, 52 years old today. Clark Gregg celebrates his 51st birthday. He's Agent Coulson, you know, from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, he is. Dead.
Rosalind Sanchez, 40 years old today from Without a Trace. Adam Rodriguez is 38 years old. And actor Michael Fassbender, who we saw more than we ever thought we would in the movie Shame. Of course, he's also Magneto in the X-Men First Class movie, 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, we have tickets for the How You Like Me Now section in the sold-out Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We're going to do Stump Pat. Pat O'Brien is here in the hallway, and he knows pretty much everything about everybody. And you have to call with any trivia about Jay Moore or Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams, or anything related. It doesn't really matter because Pat will have the answer. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that next.
Primetime, Pat O'Brien.
Nope.
Here, me and Steve Hartman doing radio. On the AM dial. Best dial in the world, by the way.
Sure. Pat O'Brien, of course, a longtime entertainment reporter for shows like Access Hollywood and The Insider, now a sports radio correspondent and talk show host. And Pat, you don't mind dropping names about the famous people you've met throughout your long career.
Well, I'm sorry, Bean. I've been in the business about 35 years.
Right.
Right.
And along the way, you make some friends.
Right, but you don't have to drop.
And I have lots of friends in entertainment and sports. And I'm not about to apologize for that.
But it doesn't seem like you can get through a single sentence without bringing up somebody famous.
Well, I'm sorry if I've got famous and powerful friends, and you, Kevin, are just lonely.
I'm not lonely. I just...
You're a lonely guy.
Okay.
Lonely guy with a huge, huge head.
Head, right. I was hoping that's how that was going to end. Saturday night is the sold-out Kevin Beans April Foolishness 2013. We were giving away the tickets right up front, Pat. They're called the How You Like Me Now section.
How do you like me now? How about me? I like me pretty
this
good.
This isn't about you, but this is the you get a VIP reception with Kevin and Bean and Ralph and Lisa and everybody on the show. Also a limited edition How You Like Me Now t-shirt. You get VIP parking. We're giving away tickets right now. If you have any kind of trivia question about famous comedians, on the bill or not, famous comedians, because Pat claims to know them all, you can call now and stump Pat O'Brien.
We're going to stump Pat O'Brien. Yeah. He's a giant, pump his ass.
Hey, hold on a second.
And he knows about comedians. Everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And can you stump Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
He's the biggest douche of all.
That's right.
And can you stump Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
The biggest douche of all. Oh, yeah.
I have been in this business a long time.
What?
35 years I've been in this business.
Right, right.
So I started off as a serious journalist.
Right, but
then
we
got into sports broadcasting many years with CBS Radio.
We'd like to do a game
CBS
here.
CBS Television.
We'd like to do a game here to give away some tickets
and
for
then entertainment broadcasting.
Right.
Of course, Access Hollywood.
We covered all this, actually. So,
Lara.
Let's
so I know these people. I know a lot about them. And you guys, I think, resent the fact that I've got a lot of showbiz friends, by the way.
George, hi.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, this is me.
Hi.
Stump Pat O'Brien.
Which comedian stars in the show Legit?
Well, that's an easy one because I know this guy.
All right.
I know
great.
When he first started out as a bat boy for the Oakland A's. Okay. It's MC Hammer. MC Hammer stars in Legit. Yeah.
You might be thinking of his song Too Legit
to
Quit.
Yeah, that's the sequel. That's the sequel to the show. It's Too Legit.
That's not it. Who? What's the answer, George?
Jim Jeffries.
Of course. Jim Jeffries, former April Foolishness player himself.
I think we have to agree to disagree on this.
He's right. George is in the drawing. Someone will win tickets up close for...
I was responsible for the nickname MC Hammer.
Is that right?
I don't believe that.
I
met him when he was a ball boy, and I said, you look a lot like Hammer and Hank Aaron. And that's how he got his nickname.
Okay. I don't think you had anything to do with that. Let's go to Lewis. Lewis is on line 5. He's actually calling about one of the very funny comedians on the bill this weekend. Hey, Lewis.
What's going on, party people?
Stump Pat.
The public confused Brad Williams with who?
Well, I happen to know the guy.
You know Brad Williams?
Brad Williams is often compared to.
Oh, okay.
Because I helped him when he was writing his biggest hit, The Rainbow Connection. It's Paul Williams, songwriter Paul Williams. diminutive songwriter Paul Williams.
Is it Paul Williams,
not a tall
Lewis?
Guy. He's a midget.
Lewis, what's the answer?
Wee Man.
Wee Man is correct, yes.
Now we're going to have to agree to disagree.
No, that's the answer. There's no agreeing to disagree.
Paul Williams said, I have a song called Mudhole Connection. And I said, nobody wants to hear about your mudhole, Paul. How about Rainbow? People love rainbows. I know a lot of rainbows.
Okay. Right. So you're the one who came up with Rainbow Connection.
And then next thing you know, Kermit the Frog stole it from me.
Let's go to an easy one. Let's go to Sean. He's on line 8 calling about another comedian we've had on the April Foolishness bill. And this is an easy question, Pat. You should know this one. Right. Go ahead, Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey, morning, bar people. Pat, what is the name of the TV sitcom Bob Saget was in the 1990s.
Well, I know Bob Saget.
You do.
We
hang
out
great.
A lot.
So you know
we
the TV
used to,
show.
We used to play at a pickup basketball game at Kevin Costner's house.
Right. Okay. But
and Bob's
sitcom.
A good friend of mine, and so
right.
we hang out quite a bit. And of course,
and his show that made him famous was
I was introduced to Bob, as was the rest of America, on his popular sitcom My Mother the Car.
My Mother the Car.
That's right.
From the 1960s, that show?
That's right. Not people don't know. Bob played the voice of the car on My Mother the
nope.
Car. That's true.
I can guarantee that's not true. Sean, what's the answer?
No, it was Full House.
Full House, of course.
Full House. Pretty
that's
sure
what we
it was My Mother the
does,
Car.
But does Full House ring a bell, Pat, at least? Full House?
No, it's not doing anything for me.
All right.
I played poker once with Robert Redford.
What? Okay, I doubt that.
I had a full house.
You had a full house, okay.
And I said, I'll give you $1 million if I could sleep with your wife. And,
that was indecent proposal.
Said,
that was a
he
movie.
Said, okay, because
it didn't have anything to do with
she
you.
She was
Pat.
Pretty attracted to me. I was in the bathroom saying, if
was she to be more?
With me and my girlfriend, just say yes.
But those problems are behind you. Right? Let's go
I've
to Steve.
I conquered my demons, Kevin. Thanks for bringing that up.
Good.
Not really funny. Almost died for
right. No, I know. That's why. We're not making fun. You, Pat. All right, one
have
more.
Any blow, by the way,
it is Steve.
Not line... I use it. I'm just curious to know if anybody has.
Line 2. You're on with Pat O'Brien. Go ahead. Good luck.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, Haley, Smith.
Hi.
Stump Pat.
All right. Which African-American actor does Jay Moore often impersonate on stage?
Jay Moore, you know, a good friend of mine.
Okay, great.
Well, it's true. We work at the same radio station.
You do. Fox Sports, right?
97.102 FM.
That's first of all, it's an AM station.
That's right. 5701 FM.
Okay.
And I often stop in to Jay's studio.
He seems annoyed by that.
He does. He loves it.
Nope.
He loves when I stop by and we sit down and talk sports.
That happens a lot, and he seems very annoyed by you.
Jay's got a chair there waiting for me all the time.
Yeah, you say it's your chair, right?
And so Jay and I are good friends. I've known him for many years.
But the question is, who does he impersonate?
Well, he does a famous impression of famous African-American Sidney Poitier.
Is that correct, Steve?
Nope, Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan, of course.
We're going to agree to disagree.
No, it is Tracy Morgan. He does Sidney Poitier.
He does a killer. First of all, it's Poitier. I interviewed the man when he first came to America many years ago.
Can we do a drawing?
Actually, he was born in America.
All right.
So he did one of his first films, The Defiant Ones, with Tony Curtis.
George did the drawing.
I had a conversation
also
with Sidney.
Steve,
is it
and Louis, and
is
Sean.
Is it Poitier? And he said, it's Poitier. My family is French.
Lisa May, who's going to be up close and personal this weekend at the show?
Winner, Steve.
Yay!
Steve.
You know, it's funny, I know Steve.
Steve
and I go way back.
Steve, do you know Pat
Hartman? Is this you, Hartman? Ask Hartman. He knows.
Thanks for stumping Pat O'Brien. Yeah. He's a giant pompous ass.
That's right.
Fire beer mug.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to the beat, how about tickets to a very cool new movie that is opening up in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 19th. You, however, my good friends, will get to see it before everyone else. Not just at an advanced screening, but how about the premiere of a movie called Oblivion?
Yay!
Stars Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman, the story of the last man on Earth. Or so he thinks, till he discovers a secret that changes everything. Oblivionmovie2013.com is the website. If you'd like to go to the premiere of Oblivion at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, Wednesday, April the 10th. You want to hang out with Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman? You want to hear the voice of God come right out of Morgan Freeman's face? Well, you're lucky then. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number win a pair of passes to the premiere of Oblivion.
How much was cut out of the movie, or was everything kept in?
Yeah. Let's get questions like that. Let's send Beer Mug down there in the red carpet and see what's what. More details coming in about the death of Buck Wild cast member Shane Gandy. He was found dead in his 1984 Ford Bronco. He told friends around 3 a.m. he was going to go mudding with some relatives, and they found him in his car. The car was partially sunk into a deep mud pit, and it turns out the mud covered up the muffler and exhaust pipe, and thinking is that that caused the cab of the Bronco to fill with fatal carbon monoxide. That's what caused the death of Gandy and his two passengers. So,
what an idiot!
Just saying, could have cracked a window. Could have opened a door. Could have got out of the car.
Seems avoidable in a lot of different
just
ways.
Just saying. What is that? Just that. Just saying. There's a way around it. A lot of people saying I'm not being very sympathetic about the passing of Shane Gandy. And I'm saying you're right. I feel bad because they say now, I didn't know, he was right on the verge of perfecting his cold fusion formula.
Is that right?
Before he passed. So we have lost a great contribution to society.
It's too bad.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
People like the Bible, turns out. I think this book has a future. I think it's going to be a bestseller. Yeah. I think it might outsell the Twilight series with a show like this promoting it. History Channel did a 10-part miniseries called The Bible, and its finale on Sunday pulled in almost 12 million viewers.
That's crazy.
Huge numbers for basic cable. The other episodes brought in over 10 million apiece, so a massive success for The Bible. Sadly, though, no chance of a sequel. I think they're out of material.
Did you hear much about whether it was any good or not, Ralph?
I heard it was biblical.
Yeah, I would imagine it's good enough if that many people. You said over 10 million every episode.
Every episode, yeah. I've heard that there were a lot of complaints about the casting and the look of the thing. Apparently it looked very nice, and it wasn't perhaps true to the time.
They cleaned it up for television a little bit.
Yeah, it was tarted up a little bit.
Denzel Washington played Jesus.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd choice. But Mark Burnett, by the way, Survivor producer, was the man behind it. So
Good for Mark.
Should have known.
He's got the Midas touch, that dude.
He does, but I'm still waiting on jingles. That's all I know.
Yeah, by the way. A little less Bible, a little more jingles.
Where's goddamn jingles?
Excellent point.
Come on, Burnett. You've been teasing me with jingles for years now.
The hour's coming.
Oh, is it? Thanks, Chattanooga Bob.
Apparently it's on the way. That's good news. We didn't know.
Heidi Klum saved her son and his two nannies from drowning in Hawaii. 39-year-old supermodel was on the beach in Oahu, vacationing with her family, when she saw her son, Henry, just 7 years old, and his two nannies being swept away by a riptide.
Dude, that sounds serious.
Klum leapt into the water, spotted their distress, and helped save them from drowning. Pulled them out of the water. Say witnesses. Entertainment Tonight even's got photos of Heidi doing it in a bikini, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's
why I want to be rescued.
Heidi Klum
in a bikini. Giving me the kiss of life.
Ralph is going to be down at the beach today just desperately looking for a riptide.
I'm drowning.
Not you. Somebody else.
No, not you. No, not Big Fat. No, not Big Fat lifeguard.
I hope she fired the nannies. What do I pay you for? I had to dive in the water and save all three of you.
You're supposed to be looking out for the kids so I don't have to, so I can just lay over here on the beach and be hot. Yesterday, of course, was April Fool's Day. And the Biebs couldn't help himself. You know that Biebs. He's such a prankster.
He's got a great sense of humor, that guy.
He tweeted yesterday, as promised, taking all fan phone calls today at 888-847-9869. Talk to you soon. It turns out that number wasn't the Justin Bieber fan hotline at all.
What?
It was the tip line for TMZ. And here's the gag. Since the number is toll-free, TMZ has to foot the bill for all the believers that dialed in, which could ultimately make it a very expensive prank for TMZ. The good news, however, is that all those people didn't have to talk to Justin Bieber when they called in, so there is an upside to the joke. Dave tells me, King Masker tells me that Dax and the crew of their TMZ found it very funny.
They probably did.
I'm guessing they haven't gotten their phone bill yet.
No,
that's
okay.
What I'm when that rolls in,
they seem like they have good sense of humor.
They may not think it's as funny. Have you seen Jennifer Aniston?
No.
Mm-mm. I thought this
was... I've seen her in my life,
I thought this was an April Fool's Day prank, but it turns out it's not. She has cut her hair almost to the scalp.
For a movie?
Really? Yeah, apparently she's got a new film, Untitled Project, with Tim Robbins and Will Forte. And Jen told People Magazine that her scalping herself is for the role. She is, it's shaved. She looks like Sigourney Weaver style, like just real, real tight.
Give me more in G.I. Jane.
Yeah.
She look good? Not sure.
I think she's a woman who
benefits from hair.
Benefited from her hair, exactly. That was my point. My character gets to this really broken point. And the director and I thought it would make her more realistic to shave my head, Jen told People Magazine. Oh, she's doing the Britney Spears story. I'm looking forward to that. And people's talking about Lollapalooza.
Good lineup.
Great lineup this year. The big event happens August 2nd through the 4th in Chicago's Grant Park. Here is the lineup of some of the more than 130 bands that will be on the bill on stages all over Grant Park. Mumford & Sons, The Killers, Nine Inch Nails, Phoenix, Postal Service, New Order. Just some of the top-name talent that will be performing during the three-day festival. However, everyone talking about The Cure making their first Lollapalooza appearance. So a lot of people are drawn to the lineup just for that band alone. Three-day passes are sold out. Did so in 3 hours when they went on sale March the 26th. But the single-day passes go on sale tomorrow, so you still have a chance to go if you want to check out Lollapalooza this year.
I think that rivals Coachella for star power this year, that lineup.
I think you're right. And real quick, it is Tuesday. It means new CDs and DVDs are available online and in stores for you to pick up. Little Miss Lonely Hearts by Cold War Kids, one of the new CDs today. My Shame is True by Alkaline Trio. 10 by New Kids on the Block. New Kids on the Block have a new CD out. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
That no. That's odd.
DVDs, a movie I can highly recommend, John Dies at the End, starring Paul Giamatti, also produced by Paul. Brought to you by the man who brought us Bubba Hotep.
Oh,
another one of my favorite weird sci-fi horror films. And TV shows on DVD. We're just talking about The Bible. If you want to see the miniseries, now available on DVD as of today. Why they wait so long? I was wondering. Just wrapped up on Sunday. And The Killing. The TV show The Killing Season 2 is available now on a box set. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Fassbender is 36. Adam Rodriguez is 38 years old. Rosalind Sanchez turns 40. Clark Gregg, one of our favorites around here, he is 51 years old. And actor Christopher Maloney is 52. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Bruce Campbell on the program.
Speaking of Bubba Hotep,
part of the Evil Dead as well.
He played Elvis in Bubba Hotep. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Of course, he was in the original Evil Dead films.
And in this one. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning. Very excited about that. We have Kerry Russell from The Americans. We have the actual Pasadena College professor who's teaching the porn class.
I can't do that bit again, Kevin.
No, no, no.
Do you mind? I don't mind doing what you ask, but I had two days in a row you're asking me to do
this. The real guy tweeted me and said, why are you guys doing a funny bit with Ralph when I'll talk to you?
What?
So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning.
And he better be just as funny as Ralph was, otherwise we're hanging up on his ass.
And part of April Foolishness this Saturday, we have Brett, little part, we have Brad Williams in the studio tomorrow morning.
He's not big!
An all-new Kevin and Bean.